This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM channel 371.
Back in the lovely confines in the basement. Greensboro was fun. We're now back home. I'm Mark Packer. That is Wes Durham. It's Packer and Durham on ACC Network. We are streaming live on that ESPN app, not to mention Sirius XM channel 371. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. And we will take calls today. I know we were busy the last three or four days with just a ridiculously great cast of celebrities and dignitaries, and unfortunately not enough basketball for our liking. But nevertheless, we move forward. Try to, at least.
Yeah, we're certainly in an interesting spot here, aren't we?
Yeah.
A lot of things have come to a close or a suspension or a cancellation or an interruption. And college basketball has joined them, and the rest of college sports has joined them for the time being. And we've got a lot of things to cover in that light today. We've got great guest Dan Radakovich will be here in about 14 minutes, the athletics director at Clemson, who's always been so gracious with us to kind of walk us through what one school's process has been. You'll also hear from Bennett Conlon, who writes for the Daily Progress in Charlottesville. They have had a sudden end to a legacy at the University of Virginia, and he wrote about last week Mamadi Diakite and Braxton Key. But how does college basketball write this? You know, how do we write this? It's an incomplete sentence. Luke DeCock will be with us from the Raleigh paper coming up in the 8 o'clock hour mark, because he's basically one of the two guys, I think, who understands the mechanics of what happened and can explain yesterday's cancellation of the ACC tournament. Reese Davis will be with us. He was a marathon man on ESPN yesterday. And Lars Tiffany, the defending national champion, head lacrosse coach on the men's side at Virginia, will join us because they won't get a chance to defend.
Neither will Tony Bennett.
Neither will Tony Bennett, and neither will anyone else, because the statements when they came out yesterday came fast and furious, didn't they? And I'm not surprised. That's the other thing.
Well, let's go backwards a second, all right? And this is an unprecedented time in the history of college sports, and really maybe of sports, for that matter.
That.
I mean, go
yes.
Big picture here. On this show yesterday at 9:34 a.m., specifically, because I mentioned the time when we asked the question to John Swofford, are we going to play basketball? And you heard his answer. Yeah, we are. We're going to play. And he went about his business, and we went through a number of other issues throughout the day. By 9:34 a.m. on this show, till high noon, it just goes to show you how fluid the situation was.
Right.
At 9:34 a.m., we're playing ball. Not only in Greensboro, we're playing ball with all the Power Fives, because we went through that with Commissioner Swofford, who was incredibly gracious and insightful at the moment. In a span of basically 2.5 hours, not only did the ACC not play ball, nobody played ball other than the Big East for about a half, and then they went, yeah, maybe not a good idea. Let's get out of here. It just goes to show you how crazy and how fast this is. And what made sense at 9:34 a.m., made no sense by about 11:15. And I'll tell you what else. I know you were getting ready to do a broadcast, but it was fascinating behind the scenes while you were getting ready for the show, for the game, that you start to see Big Ten out, Big East, we don't know, Big 12 out, Pac-12 out, SEC out, ACC, well, I'm going to go out and see what's going on. Florida State's warming up. Clemson's warming up. The bands are playing. The handful of fans. It was a surreal atmosphere inside the Greensboro Coliseum. And while all of us knew, hey, these other major conferences are out, they're not playing, it's a shutdown, it was still almost business as usual at literally like 11:57.
Right.
You still were like, surely I think the ACC is going to close this down, but you would never know it standing on the floor if you didn't know that, okay, we're going to get ready to tip this thing off in about 15. I mean, the time's going down, 16 minutes, 15 minutes, 14 minutes. And then next thing you know, players go off, commissioner comes on, Florida State comes back out, they got the trophy, and good night, everybody.
Right.
It was bizarre world yesterday.
Well, it was funny because I was over there with Bob Valvano and Justin Ware, our producer, getting ready to do ESPN Radio. You were on the other side of the floor. I saw you over in the corner, and Jay Billis and Dan Shulman were right down in front of us. And David Coburn, the athletics director from Florida State, walks across the floor. about 12:15.
I was going to say before, it had to be before that.
12:15. Walks over and says something because we're watching the game clock. You know, the countdown clock's
right?
going
I mean,
on.
If you did not know
right,
anything,
you would think they were going to play and Clemson just hadn't come back on the floor.
Right.
Florida State had come back on the floor to start the game.
Right.
And Jake looked at me and I kind of looked at him and I thought, eh, they're not going to play. And he
now, keep in mind, while that was going on,
right.
the Big East tipped off at noon.
And played.
And they're playing. So yeah. you're thinking, well, I know. Golly.
In New York City, by the way.
And you're just, again, after our experience at 9:34 a.m.,
right.
where the commissioner says, hey, green light, we're playing, you know the Big East is playing, you mm-hmm. know the other four Power Fives are not, and you're thinking, well, maybe they are going to play basketball. It was really one of those, I don't know what's happening here. It was really crazy.
The funny part, funny now, I guess, was the commissioner in our conversation said things have been, at times, week to week, then day to day, and then yesterday, in our conversation yesterday morning, he said that Wednesday had been hour to hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if I recall correctly, didn't he say there was one more, we're going to have one more call this morning?
He did.
Right. That one more call this morning.
Was it.
Was it. That was it. And it's been interesting, and I don't, on our sister channel, the SEC Network, Dari Noka and those folks had an extended interview with their commissioner, Greg Sankey, yesterday, who applauded, again, the one thing I asked the commissioner about yesterday, the collaborative effort of the other four commissioners in Power Five, and how important that is in situations like this. You know, you and I took something interesting away from the visit with the commissioner yesterday about the email they received from the NCAA the day before.
Which was amazing.
Telling them what they were going to do, as opposed to asking, hey, if you know, this kind of works in everybody's world.
Great leadership there.
But I thought that the in the interview last night on the SEC Network that actually occurred yesterday afternoon, I saw it last night for the first time, Greg Sankey, incredibly complimentary of the collaborative effort that went on between Bob Bowlsby, the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, and the Pac-12. And I think that's something to be understood as we move into this uncertain time. And it's also important to understand a couple different words that have been used as we get to some of these statements. Because the statement the Atlantic Coast Conference uses is different than the one the NCAA uses. And I think it's important to differentiate at this time. Because, you know, the ACC has used the word suspended all athletic-related activities until further notice. Okay? Now, the full statement from the NCAA and the Board of Governors and the President, Mark Emmert, says that tournaments remaining, including the men's and women's 2020 basketball tournaments, and NCAA spring championships, have been canceled. And Mark, you and I talk about details all the time. There's a differential in the details there. Here's the full statement from the NCAA. President Mark Emmert and the Board of Governors canceled the Division I men's and women's 2020 basketball tournaments as well as all the remaining winter and spring NCAA championships. This decision is based on the evolving COVID-19 public health threat and our ability to ensure the events do not contribute to the spread of the pandemic and the impracticality of hosting such events at any time during this academic year given ongoing decisions by other entities. So that's the NCAA statement that uses the word canceled. The ACC, most of these other leagues use the word suspended. The conferences use suspended. It's just a different term, but it does leave the door open to potentially bring something back down the road if it's available and accessible.
Well, the championships are done.
That's correct. So there will be no NCAA titles, but you always have an opportunity. And I think Greg Sankey pointed this out last night. I think he said something along the lines of, you know, the baseball and softball championships, that might have been a quick decision given when they fall. But we have no feel for this. That's the other thing. The unknown in this, as you said at the top, is precedent setting. We've never had anything like this.
Yeah, there's not a book that you can go check. Chapter 3 says that when the coronavirus hits, here's what the, you know, do ABC. This is we're walking into a dark closet.
Right.
We don't know if it's 2 feet deep or 100 miles deep. We're mm-hmm. going to figure it out, though. But I will say this, and I mentioned this yesterday on the radio show, as disappointing as it is to all of us, I don't care who your favorite team is, your favorite league, whatever,
right.
we're all college sports fans. And this is going to be an interesting short term, hopefully just short term, for all of us. And this is true whether you love college sports, the NBA, the XFL, Major League Baseball, the PGA Tour, whatever. Maybe out of all of this, Wes, while we're trying to be smarter in terms of the sanitation
sure.
and all that, maybe as fans, we can learn something from this, because there's always an edginess of, I don't like that guy, that coach stinks, and you know that player, they only fire him. Maybe at the end of this, when all of a sudden we're going to go for an extended period of time with no games, no breakdowns, no, I mean, all of us, this is taken away from us. This is normally, sports is always the great, I want to get away from life, let me be, go entertain. Maybe all of us can learn something from this from a positive standpoint, that we appreciate what the men and women do that are 18, 19, and 20 years old. This is not the NBA. It's not National Football League. It's not the Major League Baseball or the WNBA. These are still student athletes.
Right.
And so when we finally get our college sports back, Wes, whenever that is, maybe we can all have a better appreciation for what the men and women do, the coaches, and, you know, just again, the word respect. I say this all the time. It's free of charge. Just go check it out. It's free. And when we finally get it back, we'll maybe have a better appreciation that, you know what, when you turn on ESPN, there's 1,800 games that you can watch. And, you know, maybe, just again, maybe you take something that's such a negative and a downer right now that we can spin it to a positive at some point in time. I just kind of a goal for everybody out there watching and listening.
No, it's an interesting and a valid point. The competitive nature and the business nature of sports is real. We understand that. But at the same time, the appreciation we have for what transpires here is often interesting and needs to be sometimes, you know, qualified. And these young people have gone out, and I do feel bad.
Oh,
I do feel bad
for student athletes. Oh my goodness!
I mean, that there's no getting around the emotion of having something taken away. And granted, it's a valid situation now. I mean, this is something we have got to get our arms around and understand how to deal with COVID-19.
The eligibility issues will be fascinating as we move forward. Again, there's going to be 1,000 topics you could talk about.
Yep.
You're not going to get an answer today or tomorrow or next week, but there are some amazingly interesting topics just from a student athlete eligibility standpoint of how the NCAA is going to handle what we're getting ready to transpire and go through here for the next, again, I don't know how long this is going to be, but you know, and even if you're an AD, I mean, I know we got Dan Radakovich coming up here, and you're thinking about a coaching change. You know what? What do you do? I mean, this is a very strange time that we just kind of walked into, and it's hard to believe. We started Monday with a super worm moon. Today is Friday the 13th, and in between we lost every college sport. What a week, huh?
Yeah.
What a stinking week.
All right. You see the tweet from Cassius Stanley, heartbreaking, but the right thing to do. As we go to break. Well, we mentioned Dan Radakovich a couple times. He's been awfully kind to join our program on several occasions, and we've invited him to come back and take us through what had to be a surreal day for all of college athletics, especially at one of the marquee events in college sports, the Atlantic Coast Conference Basketball Tournament. We'll talk to Dan Radakovich.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
A number of guests today. It's a very interesting time in college athletics, in sports around the world, as we all try to cope with this. We're now going to be joined by the director of athletics at Clemson University, Dan Radakovich, who has been on many, many times. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Wes.
All right, so you're driving into work today. What feels different?
Well, the fact that I'm not in Greensboro, you know, we would kind of had thought that was going to be the destination for the rest of the week. But, you know, it was really surreal yesterday. I think you guys talked about it being Clemson and Florida State being, you know, inside the Coliseum, Greensboro Coliseum, when the tournament was canceled. But also just the checking out of the hotel, getting back here to Clemson, where, you know, the university is basically on spring break. So the Friday before spring break at most college campuses is, a little desolate. You know, everybody's kind of getting to where they're going. And we felt that a little bit yesterday as well. So, you know, we are, coming to work today, getting our coaches together about 9 o'clock, talking about what Clemson as a university is doing, and then we'll talk about, you know, the entire landscape of college sports, given the NCAA's decision to cancel all of the spring championships. But then also, you know, the ACC talking about this couple of week or indefinite suspension of activities. I think it's important to note that the ACC suspension of activities came before the NCAA canceled the spring tournaments. So I think that there's a lot of, we almost have to look at timestamps, you know, associated with when things were let loose. I'm sure as a conference we're going to get back together shortly and talk about what exactly that these next couple of weeks, couple of months, as we finish out the academic year, exactly what that does to our sports calendar.
Dan, we've known each other a long time. This seems to be one of the more uncharted waters in any college athletic history. I mean, certainly from an NCAA tournament and championship perspective. But, and I know, you know, you were in athletic administration at 9/11. Mark was working. I was working at Georgia Tech at the time. I remember the conversations about just games that weekend and the resumption of normalcy. Feels like we're entering some type of unknown here where eventually we do have to have a resumption of normalcy, but we just don't know when that is and what that looks like.
You're exactly right. I think that, you know, certainly 9/11 was a national tragedy, and it was kind of centered in one area. The difference here is that it's, you know, throughout the entire country. And one of the issues is helping to try to mitigate this issue is don't have large gatherings of individuals. Mm-hmm. That really is one of the things that the medical personnel said that will help quicken the return, as you say, back to a more normal function of everyday life. So if these events needed to be changed, then obviously we did that. Other leagues did that, and the NCAA did that. So just our part in trying to help quicken the curve here to be able to make sure that we can get back to normal life.
Dan, did you think that there was going to be a game or games yesterday? Because we had Commissioner Swofford on at 9:34 a.m. We asked him the question. He said, yeah, we're going to play. Was it the mindset between you, Brunell, Leonard Hamilton, the player? Did you really think there was going to be a game yesterday?
You know, Mark, I did. But I think the difference is, I just said a few minutes ago that it's from the medical personnel, large gatherings of individuals. We're now understanding that certainly 20,000 people in Greensboro Coliseum was a large gathering, and then we kind of moved it down to maybe about 500 or 600 when you put all the media and support personnel and the fans and the players in there. And at the end of the day, that just seemed to be too many. And so the answer is zero. Let's not have any of those gatherings. So as the conversation and the science and some of the people continue to discuss these things, we get new information, and the league was involved. And I think I heard you guys say earlier about the cooperation of the five commissioners. Yeah. You know, I think that's critical, and I think that's tremendous. That those guys in that position are talking, and they are a leading voice of college athletics, and, you know, representing the five autonomous conferences, and it's important that we do things in lockstep. So I know that Commissioner Swofford and the other commissioners will continue to have a lot of conversations together, as will our athletic directors. But, you know, we're all on a campus, and we need to understand what our campus's culture and circumstances are. And as directors of athletics, we need to support what goes on and what the decisions are as it relates to a campus. And you saw that with a couple of our member institutions, you know, saying earlier in the day that they were suspending athletic activities. And, you know, we need to be able to respect that as a league. And then we also have to make sure as athletic department leadership that we're in lockstep with our campus.
This is going to be an interesting time. You mentioned that you're going to have a coaches meeting later this morning. The message for someone like Monty Lee or John Shipman, who's just gotten your softball program underway. I mean, those messages have to be different for a guy like Dabo Swinney, whose team doesn't play till next fall, but yet has spring football, or Brad Brownell, who maybe saw a postseason opportunity just go by the boards here in the last 24 hours. I don't know if there's a singular message that works for everybody in that room, and that's the tough part of today, I'm guessing.
Well, it will be, and I think that today's message is really kind of centered on the local nature of what we're doing here at Clemson and how our student-athletes that are going out on spring break, when are they coming back? We're going to an e-learning circumstance with our campus. And our student athletes have to focus on that. E-learning is not vacation. You know, they have to make sure that they continue to move forward with their academic rigor. So, we want to make sure that our coaches know and understand that. And then, you know, we need as administrators to help we need to gather information from our coaches to be able to help inform our campus so that we, again, remain in the same, the same cadence as the campus with our athletic programs. You know, there's a lot of events that come forward on a college campus come the springtime, and we need to understand what where the campus is feeling those events should be, and how we play a part in that. And then later on, probably next week, I think that we will get together as a league and as athletic directors. And talk about the future of this spring from an ACC perspective. That could be a short call or it could be a long call. Again, the fluidity of this is really what makes it something that you almost hesitate to say this is what's going to happen, because there's a 90% chance you'll be wrong. Hmm.
I almost hate to ask you this question because it's so far down in terms of the priority list, but don't you think the eligibility issues for some of these student athletes, given the fact that really the seasons have ended abruptly, and how that's played out, and do they get an extra year or maybe they don't? And I know that's a kind of a crystal ball question, but there are so many intriguing storylines up and above just getting back into operations.
That's a great question, Mark. It really is. And I'm sure that'll be given due consideration, you know, as it relates to, you know, that has to come from the mothership. It really right. needs to come from the NCAA to be able, and of course, we're the membership of we make up the NCAA. I don't want people to forget that the member schools are the votes that move things, through as legislation and bylaws. But I'm sure that'll get a lot of conversation. I have to be honest, I haven't really given that a lot of thought yet. I'm sure that there'll be enough time to move through that. But certainly it's heartbreaking for the student-athletes who have prepared. But it's not unprecedented. In 1980, the United States didn't take a team to the Olympics. You know, a lot of things happened during World War II and the Korean War where people's careers were interrupted for circumstances of our national freedom. So, you know, these things have happened in the past. It's just now we live in a different time, and how do we respond to this? And I'm sure good thought will be given to that as we move forward.
Well, we always appreciate what you do for us, and it's great insight and perspective, and I know it may differ a little bit. The one thing I would also add too, Dan, is sometimes the sporting public that follows college athletics, that follows sports, and whether it be professional, intercollegiate, or what have you, sometimes doesn't get to see the collaborative or cooperative effort that goes on from a conference to an athletic department to a university. And I think in the last 48 hours, in many ways, they've seen that while there are individual campuses and missions, as you mentioned, and you work for a great president in Jim Clements, we all know that, it's interesting to see how all that works and how the kind of the food chain works, or the line of report works in times like this, I think.
There's no question. When our teams are, you know, in competition, we are very competitive with one another. That goes without saying, and I think that goes for, you know, the all the A5 conferences throughout the country. But we also know we can't do this by ourselves. We're better together than we are alone. And so the cooperation that has to happen and compromise, et cetera, within a conference for the greater good of the conference really shows up at times like this. And we have great leadership. We have, you know, a lot of cooperation within our athletic director's room. So, you know, look forward to these conversations to be able to come back and see if there's any possibility of you know, retaining a little bit of the season. But if not, that's okay. Because the young people that we have representing us are intelligent. They're going to do great things in life moving forward. And this is just going to be one of those moments in time that I think everybody will remember for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, no question.
Totally agree.
Thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
All right. Dan Radakovich is the athletic director at Clemson and always very kind with his time and helping us kind of sort out a little bit. I do think that coaches meeting is going to take place at every institution.
Oh, sure. No question.
And you wonder the – and I wasn't trying to overstate this. It's obviously a different meeting for a Brad Brownell who might have been going to the NIT. It's a different meeting for Monty Lee. It's a different meeting for Dabo Swinney or whatever. I mean, Coach Noonan in soccer. I mean, that's a different tenement. The thing I first thought of last night in some of this is – how does the timeline work on the 2020-2021 athletic season? Is it incumbent upon a clean finish, July 1, June something? I mean,
there's so many unanswered questions. And Everybody wants an answer today. You're not going to get it because We're just getting in the beginning of this dark hole, if you will. I thought one thing real quick before we go to break. Mm-hmm. Dan mentioned that he didn't think it was unprecedented. He went back to the 1980 Olympics. He also went back to World War II. The thing that was interesting when he said that is intervals of 40 years, right?
Yeah.
World War II, early 40s, 1980, 40 years later, it's 2020. You know, and again, they're all different. They're not related to one another. However, they do have a relationship in terms of us shutting down and having to rebuild and reboot. Mm-hmm. Again, history sometimes repeats itself when it goes to that.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
And listen, this week has been so bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, now he's starting in Greensboro, ending here.
No, we started here, went to Greensboro 3 days, came back.
That's right. We did start here, didn't we?
Yeah.
That was driving. That's why I mentioned the super worm moon because it was out and I was driving Monday night to get to Greensboro.
Yeah.
Man, everything's gone. I mean, you know how crazy it's going to be tonight, this weekend, when you put your feet up? See what's on tonight. Hey, man. Where all the games go? I mean,
for at least 2 weeks. I mean, sounds like 30 days on the professional side.
Well, it's going to be longer now.
When you say 30 at least?
I think it's at least a month.
Yeah.
And I will say one thing before we get to our next topic. The power of the NBA really comes into play here for the college sports. Didn't you get the same sense that when it went crazy in the NBA and they said, hey, we're cutting this out 30 days? We got one player with coronavirus for testing this and this. And, of course, Donovan Mitchell later gets it as well. Mm-hmm. To me, that was almost a telltale sign of that's a problem. When the NBA and the greatest players in the world, the multi-billion-dollar industry that it is, worldwide, shuts it down for 30 days, and we expect to watch college players the next day. Again, we talked about the optics. Forget about the nuts and bolts and facts and everything, but just the optics of that seemed out of kilter.
I hope I'm not out of school. I watched Adam Silver's interview last night on TNT.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah. And I know you've been with he and Coach K together, and you were really impressed.
Really impressed.
He talked about four separate meetings that have occurred in the last 36 hours where they had already kind of moved down the road of what this was becoming. And I think one of the principal figures in this from an ACC tie, if you will, is going to end up being Grant Hill. And not only is Grant Hill on the NBA Board of Governors as, I think, one of the guys involved in the Atlanta Hawks ownership, he's also on that NCAA advisory panel because of the Rice Commission. Remember the Condoleezza Rice Commission that Grant was involved in, looking at college basketball. Remember that a couple of years ago. So both he and Adam Silver at separate times were on this show last night. And I think the NBA already had a real sense that, you know, hey, look, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
They had a plan, man.
They had a plan. And so when the Rudy Gobert, and we can say Rudy Gobert because he said it was him, happened the other night in Oklahoma City, that was the easy move for the NBA. Yeah. And I think the young people playing college basketball in the United States
look up to that.
Completely influenced
and that's
by that.
Why, and that's where I was going with this whole NBA faction in terms of its influence on the college game.
Right.
And you bring up Adam Silver and Coach K. That town hall we did on SiriusXM, the key component of all of that was much more than just one and done.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that we could go back and get the audio because it's so pertinent to what happened this week.
Right.
That conversation last year in New York City, at that town hall, with Adam Silver and Coach K, was about the frustration that Adam Silver with the NBA has with the NCAA that if there's an issue to be addressed,
mm-hmm.
he cannot pick up the phone and call a person that can act on behalf of the NCAA and college basketball. And Coach K has been harping on this for a long time, but
with us a month ago he did,
no doubt.
Yep.
But for Adam Silver, again, I'm just giving you a thumbnail sketch of that hour show, and I thought about that a little bit yesterday. Can you imagine if there was a person in place,
mm-hmm.
all right, to be able to have any kind of conversation? I don't think we would have had the craziness of Mark Emmert making a statement on a Wednesday afternoon at 4:35, and John Swofford telling us yesterday on the show what the timeline was. We got an email from the president, and now all of us as commissioners had to get on the phone and really get our act. I mean, it was such a disconnected line mm-hmm. of communication. And when he said that yesterday in our interview, Wes, I had those flashbacks, that town hall of SiriusXM with Coach K and Adam Silver talking about that very issue that, you know what, you can't not pick up the phone and say, hey, I have a problem. How are we going to solve this?
Well,
it takes forever.
And again, I pointed this out in the first segment. Look at the words used in the statements.
That's right. They're not even connected.
The NCAA cancels. Everybody else is suspended. There's a big difference there.
Oh, no doubt.
For
example, if our show got canceled as opposed to suspended, that would be a big difference.
Yes, it would.
I'm going to put them our shoes.
All right? Yeah. Cancel and suspended are two different things.
Pac West, show's canceled. Man, that sucks. We got to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Pac West, show suspended. All right, we'll go.
Okay. Just let us know.
We're going to go have breakfast.
Right.
Big difference.
Yeah. And the conference is suspended. The NCAA canceled. And I'd be curious to know, and we will ultimately find out, whether the NCAA told anybody before they were going to do it.
Well, I think we kind of got that answer yesterday.
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, Commissioner Swofford, I thought that's the one thing that popped yesterday in that interview, other than, hey, we're going to play basketball,
mm-hmm.
was it just seemed like all these Power 5 commissioners who are smart and they know what, I mean, they got their act together. All of them, these are powerful, smart guys, savvy, they get it. But when you put them in a corner, where all of a sudden, hey, did you get the email? Yeah, what are we doing? I mean, can you imagine the amount of work of those five people? And even more, I mean, it was up and above just the Power Five, but I mean, they had to be sitting there going, all right, tag, we're it.
Yep.
You know, now we got to deal. Here's our hand. Now how are we going to deal with this? And that's what happened. It's hard to believe, but that's what happened.
It is hard to believe. And yet here we are. It's one of several unknowns that we have, by the way. Going into this, let me take a call. 844-SAY-ACC and Jeff in Colorado up early this morning with Packer and Durham. Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Okay.
Good. Hey, I was wondering, what do you guys think of the chances of Trey Jones coming back to Duke since he did not win a championship this year?
Jeff, I'm going to tell you something. I think that all the decisions, and you've heard us maybe use the term good basketball decision here in the last couple of weeks. I don't know what Trey Jones' situation in particular is going to be. In fact, I don't know what several people's situation is going to be. Because they don't know what's going to happen in front of them. In other words, now Trey might be able to lean on Tyus. And by the way, later in the show, we're going to show you an unbelievable package that the good folks at ACC Network have done with Trey and Tyus and their mom, which is just sensational. But do we know the timeline, the unknown timeline? I mean, to give you an example of this, I was texting back and forth with a basketball coach, not in the ACC, but a basketball coach in Division I last night, who said, how do you think the academic calendar, the NCAA declaration deadline for underclassmen and grad transfers will be impacted by all this? I had no idea. I mean, I speculated and said they may push it back. Who knows? I mean, that's the thing that a Trey Jones may fall under. I mean, even someone like a Vernon Carey, Cassius Stanley, Cole Anthony, take any player that we think might be willing to, you know, forego their eligibility to enter the draft or just even transfer at this point.
Well, like everybody else, they will get some information from the league of where they think they fit. But there also could be that pool of, hey, there's some unfinished business here. And you don't, everybody's different. And we could sit here and speculate all day. There's only one person that can answer that question.
That's Trey Jones.
Yeah. And that goes for everybody else, whether you're Cole Anthony or somebody else that says, hey, I think I'm ready for the next level. I mean, you may be. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's so many unknowns here that, again, we're just going to scratch the surface, but, you know, be patient. You're going to have to go figure out other means to be entertained other than sports. That's what's going to be really kind of fascinating for people that live in this world like we do. I mean,
yeah.
I kind of put myself in there as a fan that, like, when you turn on the remote this weekend, you're going to be like, man, maybe the golf's on. No, golf's not on.
I think that Mark's question to Dan Radakovich, by the way, about eligibility, that's a fair one. I mean, you know, I was.
I hope they – I just out of common decency.
Sure.
I hope the NCAA says, hey, you know what? There was some unfinished business. Everybody gets another year of eligibility if you want to take advantage. I hope that's what it turns out.
Absolutely. Then you get, you know, what about Georgia Tech, who took a postseason ban in basketball this year?
You know, what happens there? I don't know.
You
know, here's the other thing, too, with the additional eligibility. If you grant that extra year, you know, coaches are also going to have to figure out, hey, I only have X amount of scholarships.
But are you going to be allowed an extra for a year?
It's all legit questions, and nobody has an answer as of this second. Nobody. Right.
Packer and Durham.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Lots of guests between now and 10 a.m. as we continue to kind of go through just the zany 48 hours that college sports has been through.
Yeah, and there's so many questions about how the process happened and what it means going forward. I think that's also going to be interesting to see is some of the stuff we were talking about, eligibilities and, you know, decisions that have to be made, the collaborative effort between both the professional ranks and the collegiate ranks as it relates to that kind of system. What's the NFL going to do? I mean, how's the NFL calendar going to work? They're, you know, they suspended operations. Most of these franchises now have suspended operations for 2 weeks. So
everybody should just take a deep breath.
Absolutely.
Take a step back, and, you know, it will all figure this thing out.
Yeah, take care of yourself. That's the number one thing.
Number one priority.
Absolutely.
No
take
question.
Care of yourself. Bennett Conlin covers Virginia for the Daily Progress in Charlottesville. He is kind enough to join us this morning. Bennett, long time getting you on this show. There are a lot of people excited about the Bennett Conlin debut. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. Thanks for having me on.
Glad you dressed up.
Just like us. All right, so first of all, I want to ask you about the events of yesterday. And any kind of reaction or thinking on behalf of Tony Bennett, who has this unbelievable run at the end of the year with the Cavaliers, and yet they don't even get to take the floor in Greensboro to see what would have been ahead for the defending national champs?
Yeah, so I haven't talked to him, but I imagine his reaction would be calm. They lost to UMBC, and he was calm. They won the national championship, and he was calm. So I imagine yesterday and the last few days have just been, you know, him being calm per Tony Bennett's tradition, I guess.
You wrote a piece recently regarding the legacy of a few of these great Wahoos. Now with the way this thing ended abruptly, how do you define it?
Yeah, it's tough. I think for Braxton Key, he was there for 2 years, transferred in from Alabama, won a national championship. Mamadi Diakite was there a little bit longer, obviously had a huge legacy for Virginia. I think fans will remember him dearly with what he was able to do and all the things that he did, the wins that they had. But also just Tony Bennett had talked about when Diakite got there, you know, he was kind of struggling to speak English. And he left as one of the maybe funnier players on the team and obviously very impactful, a second team All-ACC guy, one of the better defenders in the league. Both of them had huge roles. Last season, Diakite, you've got the shot against Purdue, which will live on in UVA lore forever. And then Braxton Key, a huge block in the national championship game against Texas Tech. He was really important as well. And yeah, I'm sure Diakite is probably a little upset there with the 997 points. I think he was probably hoping to get 1,000, but a pretty good legacy for both guys.
Yeah, it's interesting because some guys like this, while maybe not as pronounced as a Malcolm Brogdon or a Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy, DeAndre Hunter trio, Diakite and Key could be considered very important bridge legacies in what Virginia basketball ultimately becomes, I think.
For sure. I mean, just the winning the national championship is huge to have that on your legacy. You know, if you're a guy on the bench or a guy playing, it certainly helps. But what they've been able to do for the program, you mentioned some of those stars that have come before, for them to be able to do what they did, and especially this season, I think that'll cement their legacy as well, where the team struggled out of the gates, but then really finished strong and closed well. And they were confident going into the ACC tournament, going into the NCAA tournament. Braxton Key was talking about how they won out at the end of the season. He thought they could win out the rest of the way. So they're definitely, I would assume, a little bit disappointed in the way things ended, but they closed the year very strong and ended on a win, which, you know, not every team did this year.
Bennett, did Tony Bennett do a better coaching job last year winning the national championship or maximizing literally everything with this team to be the number two seed?
That's a good question. I think maybe this year. Last year was certainly impressive winning the national championship, but the talent on that team, you got three NBA players and Jack Salt and some other guys, Diakite and Key as well. This year, I mean, you look at the team out of the gates and, you know, they shot the basketball kind of like I did. They're putting up a lot of bricks, a lot of air balls early in the season, struggling a lot with how they were able to shoot and score. And he basically took that team and led them to 11 wins in the last 12 games and 8 in a row. And he was coaching hard. I mean, he was really pushing the guys. And I think he pretty much, if you look at the end of the season, Thomas Bull, the Tensai, was pretty much maxed out. I think Diakite and Key were getting close. Jay Hoff certainly seemed like he was playing his best basketball of the season. It seemed like as a team they were maxing out, but individually as well, at the end of the year, everybody on the team was maxing out. I think that's a credit to Tony Bennett's coaching.
Bennett Conlon is with us from the Daily Progress in Charlottesville and covers the University of Virginia. Bennett, I just want a little perspective from you on the last 48 hours. You know, and we were talking to Dan Radakovich a moment ago, the athletics director at Clemson, about some of this. And I know you follow, obviously, the Cavaliers and know Carla Williams and some of the decision makers there. I think it's been fascinating from a business perspective to watch the process unfold at the various universities that are members of the Atlantic Coast Conference here.
Yeah, for sure. It's certainly been strange just how quickly everything has unfolded. Where, you know, a couple days ago I was asking Tony Bennett if he might restrict Kia Clark's minutes in the ACC tournament with the potential of playing three games in 3 days. And now, of course, the NCAA tournament is canceled and the ACC has suspended athletic activity. So it all happened very quickly. It's unprecedented. I think whether it's a coach or an administrator or whatever, they've all talked about this is sort of uncharted territory, unprecedented. You don't see this sort of thing. So it's been strange. It's been different. I don't think anyone really knows how to react or handle it because no one's ever reacted or handled it before. So it's going to be interesting the next few months. You certainly feel for the seniors across all the sports that, you know, might have their careers ended or at the very least their seasons ended. It's disappointing. It's tough. And I think a lot of people agree that it is the right decision for health reasons, but it certainly doesn't take the sting out of it for the athletes or the coaches or the administrators who are looking forward to a great spring season.
Totally offbeat. In the background, I see a Masters, like a pennant over your right shoulder. What do you think? What do you think they'll do at Augusta, given everything that's happened this week in college athletics?
They're tough to figure out. They don't necessarily beat to the drum of everyone else. So, I mean, I hope the Masters goes on, but we'll see what they do. I know the PGA Tour has canceled some events for the next few weeks, but I believe the Masters operates sort of on its own umbrella. So we'll see what happens there. It's I was lucky enough to go a few years back, and it's certainly one of the cooler experiences I've had in the sporting world. So hopefully they're able to do it. They may do it without fans or something. We'll see, but hopefully somebody gets a green jacket.
Well, you know, I kind of think of Augusta National and having that badge, much like it used to be with the ACC tournament, especially in Greensboro.
Right.
When you had it, it was very similar. To, oh, my God, I got my hands on a badge for the Masters. Or, who knows how this is going to work out for the folks at Augusta. We certainly know how it worked out for college athletics.
Bennett, I'm going to ask you professionally here, what do you think storylines will unfold here in the next 4 to 6 weeks, or 15 to 30 days. I mean, have you kind of jotted down a few things that, if they're going to stop all this, here's what I'm going to try and follow up on. Anything maybe unleft or something you want to try and maybe propose for the future?
Yeah. I've been certainly thinking of ideas. You know, as a print journalist, and you cover college sports, and they say there aren't going to be college sports for a few months, you better come up with some ideas if you want to be employed. So. I looked and I've figured that you've obviously got the seniors who are potentially losing their last season. That's a big storyline, but you've also got, like concessions workers or RMC staff or people who are working these games. What happens with them? I know like the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA, I believe they're paying for all their arena staff and cutting that out for the rest of the year. So we'll see what happens there. That's certainly something to keep an eye on. And then obviously the time frame of when teams are allowed to come back. They might not necessarily come back for athletic competition, but the practice is important, of course. You want to prepare for the upcoming seasons and things like that. And then you look at the spring sports this season. If they don't play at all the rest of the year, are those seniors able to get waivers? Would the NCAA then, push out and allow increased scholarships and things like that for programs? So those are all things I'm going to keep an eye on. And, you look at the last few days, I mean, everything changes hourly. I'm sure I'll have upcoming breaking storylines here in the next, 2 hours or something. So there's certainly a lot to keep an eye on.
Well, now that you've been on this show, just remember everything happens at 10:05.
That's it.
So,
exactly right.
Exactly.
Appreciate it, Bennett. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Bennett Conlon, the Daily Progress in Charlottesville with Packer and Durham. Stay tuned. Hour two of a Friday program. Luke Dukakis is coming up from the Raleigh News and Observer.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.